are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock here. My guest is Mr. Chris Wilson. He is a contributor to LockedOn49ers.com. He's got a new set of articles, part one out yesterday, about the wide nine and the 49ers' new front and how that is going to look. So I've got him on the show today. We're going to talk about that, talk about the 49ers' defense. And before we bring Chris on the show, I do want to remind everybody, as usual, to find me on Twitter at BD Peacock. If you'd like to get involved with mailbags and want to have a little back and forth, find me there. That's the best place to get a hold of me. You can also email LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. Of course, LockedOn49ers.com. Not only can you find those articles I mentioned, but you can find the streams to all the show. You can find where to subscribe there. And you can subscribe just about anywhere that you find podcasts, including the new Himalaya podcast app, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. And now let's bring on today's guest. He is a contributor to LockedOn49ers.com. And in fact, if you're a 49ers fan and you read content online, there's a very good chance you've read Chris's work in a number of places. Niner Noise, 49ers Web Zone, Fansided, Inside the 49. Chris, did I miss anything there?
Not hit most of the major ones. I don't turn a lot of stuff down. So maybe that's my problem, but, I definitely love writing Niners, love reviewing film and, love connecting with the Niner fans all over the world. It's been a lot of fun and, hoping to, continue as long as I can.
Yeah, it's awesome. And I appreciate the work you do for LockedOn49ers.com. And the latest piece is on Chris Kucerich, the new defensive line coach for the 49ers, and the wide nine scheme that's coming to town. And it's, I think, a lot of different ideas I've seen floated about what that is and what that means for the 49ers. Some of those, I think, are a little bit off. Some of them are right on. So we're going to get into some of that today and what that means for the 49ers, what it means specifically for the players lining up in that wide nine front. So I guess the first thing we got to do to start with this is, why is it called the wide nine? The nine just is the alignment number, right? You've heard, everyone out there has probably heard three technique. That's where DeForest Buckner lines up. Zero technique is a true nose tackle. And basically it's just, you start at zero, that's over the center. A zero technique is a nose tackle that's lined up right over the center. And you start counting outward. A one is shaded over the center, a two, three, and so on. And the nine is just, I mean, at some point they're going to start, there's going to be a wide 11 defense, right? But at this point, nine is sort of the widest the defensive ends line up in the NFL. So take us through what that wide nine looks like and what that means for the 49ers.
Yeah, there's a couple different types of ways to describe the various techniques. The first one was developed back in the 40s, but now it's somewhat standard. The only thing that's sort of weird is once you get out to the tight ends, some of these OCD coaches and yes, have a numbering system that's a little bit abnormal. Yeah, but basically it's like you said, you're starting at zero, which is straight up on the center. A two would be straight up on the guard. And then going outwards, and then we have the 2i, which is on the inside tackle of the guard, and then once we get out to the tight end, we have the 5, which is outside of the this is where it sort of gets a little bit dicey depending on who your coach is or who you're working for, but it used to be at one point an 8, which is it's the old school wide nine is now called the wide nine, and then now 8 is now a new version of the 6, which is over the tight end. So it's a little bit of a complex numbering scheme that really shouldn't be that complex, but when you have so many individuals who are contributing to it and so many different schemes, the numbering systems do get a little bit screwy, but basically all the stuff that we learned last year about the 3 and the 5, you know, and then the 7, the 9, it's all the same stuff in the wide nine technique. The only real difference is that the wide nine defensive end is lined up farther to the outside than the regular nine defensive end, who would be lined up to the outside shoulder of the tight end. And then there's also the ghost nine, which some people still call the wide nine, but that's basically where there is no tight end on that side of the field, the defensive end or the outside linebacker or edge rusher will line up either right outside of where the tackle or where the tight end would have been, or right where the tight end would have been. But so far away from the tackle, so that the tackle is going to have to, take considerable movement backwards into the side to be able to make contact with the defensive end if the defensive end does decide to rush the quarterback.
Yes, I love that. The Ghost Nine. So you can impress your friends at home when you see the 49ers line up and someone wants to talk wide nine. You're like, well, yeah. And on the other side, you got the Ghost Nine, and they'll look at you like, what are you talking about? I'll be like, yeah, so that's the non-tight end side still lined up wide nine. It's the Ghost Nine because there's no tight end there. I love that terminology. And by the way, this first piece in the 49ers film room at LockedOn49ers.com that Chris put up there on Monday, there's going to be multiple pieces, and we're going to get deep into the wide nine. And so the terminology, I think you'll be a pro after this series of articles. One thing, Chris, I want to talk to you about here with the wide nine is, how different is it than what the 49ers were already doing? Because if you ask Kyle Shanahan, and he was asked this in the offseason, he kind of just, you know, sloughed it off. He's like, yeah, no, it's not a big deal. We've had guys already lining up with nine techniques, so it's not that big of a deal. How much do you think this will change versus, like, say, what we saw the Lions do, where Chris Kocurek used to coach? How much different is going to look up front for the 49ers?
It really depends on how often the 49ers use it. I mean, common sense would tell you to only use it in obvious passing downs, but that's not something that Chris Kocurek has done in the past. I mean, he uses it on early downs as well. And if you don't have the numbers in the box on early downs, and you're attacking the defense, especially from you know, two wide nines or a wide nine and a ghost nine, the bubbles on the interior are so large that you really put yourself in a really, really bad situation against a team that wants to run the football. So it's something that we've seen before. And I think the second piece that will come out probably later today will be a handful of plays where where Saleh has decided to use the variations of the ghost nine or wide nine in obvious passing situations, and how it's been very, very effective, especially with using DeForest Buckner on the interior, because lining up Buckner next to even a average to below average defensive end, and Buckner's into one-on-one situation, and he's just attacking the quarterback in a very, very small amount of time. So if you get him on the same side as a D Ford
Bosa,
honestly, even Blair, when he right. was out there with Buckner, he was he was able to, it was either one of the two, either Buckner was getting in there instantly or Blair was getting in there instantly. So I think Buckner's really going to be the key to make this this wide nine defense, especially on passing downs, work.
Yeah, Ronald Blair, by the way, one of the more underrated 49ers, good call by one of my listeners. I don't know who it was. I don't have it up here, but my mailbag segment last week asking for underrated players, I think Ronald Blair was a good call, and the 49ers are so deep on the defensive line. I wonder if Ronald Blair might get pushed out, which would be unfortunate because he's a strong rotational player that can be moved around and do a lot of things. More with Chris Wilson after we take a quick break here. This podcast is brought to you in part by Blue Chew and Hotels.com. Guys, do you remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra something, that extra confidence in bed. Listen up, BlueChew.com. That's like blue, the color blue. And chew like you chew it. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach, and since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises.
Now, this isn't just for guys who can't perform. It's for any guy who wants extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor's visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. And right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast.
Okay, so on that note, we were talking about Ronald Blair. We're talking about the wide nine and how these guys are going to be used and how they're going to be lining up there on the 49ers front and how different it might look. And one of the questions I have is with, so the wide nine is, and you were talking about how it would seem to make more sense running that in more passing down situations, but Chris Kocurek, if you look back at his Lions days, it wasn't just a passing down situation. And if you hear Jim Washburn, who was the guy who taught Chris Kocurek this wide nine scheme, and Washburn, I believe, is over in Philadelphia still coaching that defensive line. He did not sound like a coach that was trying to teach a finesse scheme to his players. He was talking about a train coming down the tracks, 270-pound defensive ends that were coming like with some nastiness. And so I think that is the idea behind it is, and obviously, it's going to the wider you line up, the more gaps it's going to create inside. But it's not a finesse scheme, right? Like you're coming with some cruel intentions off the edge to either get an angle to the quarterback or crush the edge and set the edge and crush that tight end or that offensive tackle and sort of keep things compact and funnel everything to the linebackers.
Yeah, and you know, a couple of videos I'll post and break down here later today. There are a whole bunch against the Raiders, but that was just a mess from the Raiders' perspective. And then as well as against the Lions, there's nothing finesse about going after the quarterback when your defensive ends are lined up outside the tackles or the tight end. I mean, it's quick, it's hard, and it's fast, and it's, I mean, quarterbacks are going to be concerned about it. So it's, you know, no, it's definitely not a finesse type of defense. The issue is that historically, Saleh has been a defensive coordinator who likes odd fronts. I mean, he has five men on the line pretty much all the time, unless the 49ers are in an obvious passing situation. And at those times, then he can go into his, like, you know, ghost nine, three tech, ghost nine, defensive formation for this front four.
And his nose tackle that is a coverage nose tackle that drops into a hook zone, which he loves,
yeah,
so much.
And that's obviously one of his better plays and his clean. I don't tell you. I think the worst thing that ever happened to Saleh as a DC is that the one time that it worked, was it the Indianapolis game? I think that his first year coaching when they dropped Mitchell back into coverage,
Mitchell, yeah.
And because of that, one of the 49ers inside linebackers was able to intercept the ball. And I think ever, you know, from that point forward, he's like, I'm going to do it again. I'm going to make it work. And he's proven that it does not work.
Yeah,
and,
it's frustrating for fans to watch. It's not even if it works or not. It's just like you specifically drafted and signed all of these players that run like 4.4s, and then you're going to drop your nose tackle into coverage. So which is it? Which one do you want? And actually, I think we got to talk about Robert Saleh here and what this means, the wide nine stuff. So Robert Saleh, he was interviewed earlier this offseason. I don't remember exactly when it was. It was actually, I think it was before the draft, and people were asking him about what the scheme's going to look like and what the Sam was going to be and what they were going to look like on the back end. He's like, no, we're the same defense, running the same scheme. We're going to run cover three. And then they hire Chris Kocurek. They hire Joe Woods. And Chris Kocurek's like, no, we're going to run the wide nine. And Joe Woods is like, yeah, we're going to run more man and more cover two. And so it's like, well, is this Robert Saleh's scheme anymore or not? And is like the writing on the wall with Robert Saleh because they're bringing in all these coaches that are sort of, have a counter to what he would do and what he has been doing, and it might look a lot different. And then at that point, it's really not Saleh's defense because the linebackers are different. Three off-ball linebackers instead of having that Sam and that hybrid sort of odd front that you were talking about. And then if they're not going to be running a bunch of cover three, they're going to do more man, more cover two stuff, then it's definitely not what Robert Saleh brought to town 2 years ago.
Yeah, I wrote a piece sort of, you know, coming to that conclusion on Niner noise, and man, the fans let me have it. They were not happy about that.
Really?
But I came to the same conclusion that you did. It's I really question how much say Saleh had in those two hirings, because it really forces him to change his entire defensive scheme. And maybe it's the type of thing where they're not going to use it all the time and they're only going to use it in certain situations. But I mean, there's no way for Saleh to run the scheme that he learned in Jacksonville and then previously in Seattle if you're going to have two defensive ends in a four-man front on the outside. It's just not possible. You can't do it. And you're really, really asking a lot from your 3-3 linebackers. And Niners linebackers are not the most they do have, you know, the one veteran that, in my opinion, starter caliber. But outside of that, a second-year player and then we have a competition at the third spot between pretty much a converted safety and then, you know, some less experienced players and some older players who probably should have the team should have parted ways with before. So it's going to be really taxing on the linebackers because they have to fill holes that they weren't normally required to fill because they had, you know, they had the five men up front who were taking on the offensive linemen. But the 49ers have a very undersized group of linebackers to take on, you know, guards and tackles directly with no assistance. So it's, there's a reason why my teams ran all over Miami last year, and one of those reasons. I mean, it's not the only reason. I mean, their defensive line wasn't stellar, but I mean, they were. I think they gave something like 2,300 rushing yards or something like that, and I thought the Niners were bad giving up, you know, 1,800 or something, you know, something in that vicinity. But Miami was just pretty much, you know, run over, and then opposing offenses figured out how to attack it if they didn't know before. They developed ways to do so, and especially the of course Belichick. There's just a series of plays that I'll point out in one of these subsequent episodes of the series where he just takes this running back and he's like, well, you know, we're just going to run this ball right down the field. And it's just like 15 yards, 15 yards, 15 yards. And there's just nothing that Miami can do about it. So it's, obviously lessons have been learned and changes have been made and, you know, the pros and cons to every defense. But for Saleh to say that they're going to keep the same defense, but yet they're going to implement these aspects of the new defense in the ways that we're expecting them to, like those things just don't jive.
And Fred Warner, I think, is someone who hasn't gotten enough credit for what he did as a rookie. And I expect big things from him in a long career there. But Elijah Lee as an outside linebacker, Malcolm Smith, who you didn't mention by name earlier, but I know who you're talking about. And the rookie Dre Greenlaw he had some of the worst tape I've ever seen as a linebacker trying to take on blocks. Like, he flat out could not take on blocks. So that spells that's bad news if he's in the base defense, which I don't think he will be. I think as a rookie, that's the reason why Drake Greenlaw is going to be more of a situational guy, and maybe he'll be the nickel linebacker because he's a former safety and he's got range and he's got athleticism, but he got completely washed out from blockers in college. So I wouldn't expect him to go in and plug and take on guards head on in the run game. So that's why, to me, it's going to be interesting to see who wins those linebacker jobs, because when you go against a team like, say, it would seem like we don't know exactly what it's going to look like under Cliff Kingsbury for the Arizona Cardinals, but it would seem like the wide nine would be like, okay, that's the right scheme to take on that team. But then taking on the Seattle Seahawks that like to run the ball more and play more of a classic style, that's where I would start to worry about, are the 49ers susceptible up the middle to the run in that scheme? And with someone like Dee Ford, who is not your 270-pound animal who's going to be blowing through like a train on the train tracks and taking on offensive tackles and blowing people up in the run game and really setting the edge. And he can set the edge, but I was expecting him more in Robert Saleh's old style of scheme to play that outside linebacker maybe and be that strong side linebacker who puts his hand in the grass and rushes on third down. So I wonder how, and maybe you have a better idea, how D Ford, because it seems like Nick Bosa is a perfect fit for this, especially, I mean, on rushing downs or on passing downs, but how do you see D Ford fitting, especially in base defense against the run?
D Ford is, if they're going to play him on base downs, they're going to play him as far outside as possible, and they're going to have to protect him. Because he's just not that good run defense. I mean, he can contain to the outside. I mean, he can do that fine. I mean, he can definitely rush the passer, but he is, he's more of an outside linebacker, you know, primarily a pass rushing outside linebacker. Hopefully we don't see him in coverage too much this year. If you're going to put him on the field, you don't really want him to be too close to the line of scrimmage. So the wide nine in some ways is good for him. In some ways, it's a good thing that D4 played an unbelievable amount of snaps last year. He's like rivaling Buckner in his early season. So I mean, they're going to have to scale that back. So, you know, so if they're going to put him on the field, 70% of the time, 60% of the time, then some of those early downs are probably going to be a good time to rest him and bring on one of the 49ers other three or four defensive ends who are a little bit more proficient in the run game.
Talking with Chris Wilson of LockedOn49ers.com. More with him after this. This podcast is brought to you in part by Blue Chew and Hotels.com.
As far as Bosa, it's gonna be interesting to see how they use Bosa, because Bosa's so good when he's tight to the line of scrimmage, because he's such a fantastic inside move. I mean, perhaps the best inside move in all of college football before he got hurt. So to have him out wide, and you may lose something from him by having him so far outside a defensive tackle or a tight end. Whereas D Ford is a little bit more natural of a wide nine type of player who's like, whose lone job is just to get upfield as quickly as possible, contain if it's the run play, hope he has assistance in the run game. And then whereas Bosa can, he's more of a do it all kind of guy, but lining him up too wide, it's gonna be tough for that offensive tackle to get over there to get to him. I sort of like the way that he's able to to rip off a couple of moves the outside or power moves, and then that quick move to the inside, and the tackle just doesn't see it coming. I mean, and he's done that up against future NFL level tackles, and I think it's one of the strongest parts of this game, thanks to his hands are just fantastic. So I'm interested to see how much they're going to use both of them at the same time in wide nines. And I'll feel a lot more comfortable if they're just using one or the other in the wide nine or the ghost nine. And then I think if they do it that way, then they're not going to have the problems that they would have if they're pushing both guys out. Cause then you're really forcing your interior lineman to overpower their man and hold on to the second blocker and not let him get it up to the second level to take out one of the Niners, smaller linebackers who's doesn't really want pulling guards untouched in his directions, and that's not going to end well for him. And not necessarily his fault. It's just right. Just his size. It's not his style of play.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's the kind of guy he is. I still think Greenlaw is probably. I mean, he's a fifth round draft pick, and rookies don't make a huge impact many times in the NFL, and fans expect everyone to be studs and be at their maximum right away and probably be a special teamer early and then work his way in. So maybe year two, year three, he's a little bit more stout and able to do those things and take on more blocks. But I wouldn't expect a ton, especially in base downs, from Dre Greenlaw as a rookie, not to put him down or to say he's not a good player or a good draft pick or anything like that. All right, Chris, actually I have one more quick question. And talking about the wide nine, we spent so much time talking about the defensive ends and the linebackers. So if you have your defensive ends lined up at the nine technique way out there, what are you doing on the interior? Are you doing still a straight up one technique, three technique that the 49ers have had the last couple of years? Do you need something a little bit more stout in the middle? Might we see a little more beef? The 49ers didn't add anybody that was, you know, your Ted Washington 350-pound nose tackle in the offseason. So what's the interior defensive line supposed to do and look like in that situation when you're when your defensive ends are way out there, especially on base downs?
Well, if you're going to run this defense, I mean, you need a stud three tech. It's just, you can't play it without a stud three tech. And the 49ers have one of those.
Yeah, luckily.
So, so knock on wood, keep him healthy. I think he'll probably be running mostly three tech or in obvious passing downs. And I'll show you in the next clip. And Sal is pretty effective. He actually lines them up more of like a five technique, but at an angle, sort of similar to the defensive end. So it's sort of like it's just a way to isolate the left tackle and then the left guard against whoever the edge rusher is and Buckner, and defenses just couldn't stop it last year. So it was it's an interesting way to use it. But as far as base downs are concerned, yeah, it's usually either a three tech, one tech, or zero shade. So it's sort of traditional, you know, like the Miami defense, you know, minus the player on the weak side. Yes. Yeah, so you're either doing a 3-1 or you're doing a 4-eye and a 2-eye. And a lot of their job is, you know, it could be penetration on a lot of the when you have five linemen up against the ghost nine, three ghost nine. The Niners like to move that DJ Jones into the interior to really eat up the guard and the center. That way, it just frees up all three of the remaining linemen to go, you know, pin their ears back and go right back after the quarterback. And I mean, it's a pretty effective technique, and it's something that the defenses are going to have to figure out a solution for it, because the various solutions that they tried, especially when they got to some of their backups, when the Niners knocked out the Raiders offensive linemen, I mean, it's some funny stuff. It definitely looks more like a college team against a elite pro. A pair of elite pro defensive in Blair and Cassius Marsh. So it's I mean, you could really do it a lot of different ways. You could also move him far to the outside and then, you know, move a middle linebacker into the middle to occupy the centers. I mean, there's a lot of different ways that you can run it. And to try to break a lot of those down, and the ones that worked and the ones that didn't work when Kasirik was in Miami and perhaps also some of his time in Detroit as well. You really need that stud three tech, because if you don't, you're in trouble. Because if he's not garnering a significant double team, then you're in deep trouble. And you really want, you know, your other defender to be able to either handle two linemen or to be able to shoot that gap quickly enough to concern both players and occupy them both. And then I think, you know, similar to the play that the 49ers play against the Lions that I put up today, you know, if you're able to, you know, tie up two offensive linemen with one of your defensive linemen and do that twice, and then, you know, the third guy, you have Solomon Thomas lined up on a tight end, and he makes a short work of him. He gets into a little bit of a small hand situation when he tries to tackle the running back in the backfield, which he's been growing used to over the last couple of years. But but he does break up the play and makes a play where it doesn't look like the Niners really set up correctly against the front, especially on an early down where they're probably going to run. But they were effectively able to use their athletic talent, which is a big part of using the Y9s. You want your athlete to be better than the athlete on the other side. And that's one reason why high schools and colleges have gone to it. You know, when they have somebody who's just, you know, who's going to dominate the tight end or offensive tackle. So same kind of thing in the NFL. If your athlete is better than their athlete, then, you know, you want to take advantage of that. And one way you can take advantage of it is that interior pressure and then coming from the outside. And then, you know, if a team's, yeah, if your quarterback gets sacked a couple times or knocked down a couple times, and like you said, it's a violent defense. You have them thinking about it, and then that's when the interceptions come. And
Chris, we're out of time here. I appreciate you coming on the show once again, and everybody's got to go check out his article on the Wide Nine. There's more parts of that to come at LockedOn49ers.com. You can find him on Twitter at CGA Wilson. Chris, thank you so much, and let's talk again soon.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure, and those will be coming out here hopefully in the next few hours, and they're going to keep coming until I tell you explain it sufficiently.
Yeah. So hopefully run out of things to say.
A good grasp of it, and then we'll see if they even use it and once the season starts, but at least we'll know what it is if we face another team that plays it. So
beautiful. Thanks again to Chris for joining the show. Thanks everybody for listening. Be back tomorrow, another Winky Wednesday, right here on Locked On 49ers.